Reunion. Late in 2002, Leslie decided to dye her hair. No longer light blonde, she became a striking redhead. I've always thought she looked wonderful, and her decision didn't change that. As 2003 began, probably it was evident to many long before that, the U.S. government was bent on making war on Iraq. The trauma of September 11th, 2001 was still very raw, and Saddam Hussein was being demonized even beyond the reputation as monster that he had long since earned. The facts that the bombers aboard those suicide planes were Saudis, and that their Al-Qaeda mastermind Osama bin Laden was known to be in Afghanistan, in no way deterred chicken hawks like Cheney, Wolfowitz, Pearl, and George W. from focusing on Baghdad. The supposedly respectable Colin Powell insisted at the UN that the enemy had WMDs, whether Hans Blix and other very credible investigators testified to the contrary or not. I was by no means apolitical, yet I felt deeply skeptical that protests would make any difference. Still, the miserable uncertainty and the looming chaos of regime change had motivated me to do something more than stay at home and informed. Leslie and I decided to join the mass demonstration in San Francisco on January 18th. To get there from Ukiah, instead of driving into the sure-to-be gridlocked city, we traveled that morning across the bay from Larkspur in Marin County to the ferry building on the Embarcadero. As we boarded the ferry, we ran into two other couples from Ukiah, the sort of encounter that in other circumstances might have seemed a nice coincidence, but which in this case barely lightened my somber mood. The ferry building is a landmark at the foot of Market Street, visible in footage from the 1906 earthquake. The route of the march was to be up that broad thoroughfare until it reached the Civic Center, where speakers would address the throng. The small contingent disgorged by the ferry was immediately part of an enormous crowd that had gathered from all over the Bay Area and no doubt, as with us, from points far beyond. SF cops blocked all traffic, so the entire breadth of Market Street was filled with protesters on foot. As could be expected in a city famous for its high spirits, the marchers were a motley crew, many linking arms, carrying signs, shouting slogans, singing songs, giving the event in all an upbeat air. But within my silent reality, this actually didn't sit very well. Though it wasn't for me to direct, I knew I felt darkly serious about being there. It wasn't a party. Far above us, the sky was a clear winter blue. But since no ray of sun penetrated the urban canyon of tall buildings lining the street, Leslie and I marched in bitter cold. Yes, our arms were linked too, but this was above all a way to help each other stay warm. In addition, because in the midst of the surging mass we otherwise might easily have been pulled apart, we vowed to stay very close. There was unmistakable inspiration in being there and exercising our First Amendment right to petition the government. I was also an inveterate people watcher, and here was an extraordinary opportunity to engage in observing the infinite variety of humankind. Less basic, but still of significance for me, was the chance to gaze up at the architecture of those buildings from a middle-of-the-street perspective. I had pleasant memories of enjoying downtown and other districts of San Francisco. There was the time someone took me for brunch at the posh garden court inside the Palace Hotel on the corner of Market and New Montgomery. Now, though, the contrast between that elegant luxury and the purpose and style of the people marching to stop a war was so total as to be absurd. Eventually, when such wandering thoughts couldn't overcome the sheer fact of our freezing, Leslie and I broached the politically incorrect possibility of turning around and going home. I still had an important errand yet to run at a store in Santa Rosa on the way back to Ukiah. I'd never considered that the possibility of the hours it would take to reach the Civic Center, let alone be trapped there listening to speakers preaching, or that's what I figured, to the choir, would prevent us from getting back to Santa Rosa in time. So when the ragged lines of marchers that included us reached a station on the BART line, that was the trigger we needed to descend and ride that subway back toward the ferry building. Having lived so far away from big cities for so long, neither of us had particularly polished skills at using urban transport. Even so, we managed to obtain the necessary tokens, go through the turnstiles, and board a crowded car headed in the right direction. But when the train reached the stop where we wanted to get off, something was different. The exit machinery on the platform didn't work the way we expected. I went out through the barrier in normal fashion, but then it obstructed Leslie from doing the same. Officers, BART has its own police force, herded her through a different gate, which was screened by a fence from where I was, and we proceeded upward via different staircases. By the time I was on a sidewalk of Market Street again, she and I were no longer together. I was astonished to find that the beginning of the march was still in progress, with an excited anti-war throng here as thick as the one we'd set off in hours before at the same location. For panicky moments, was it seconds, minutes, Leslie and I were out of sight of each other. Presumably, we were on opposite sides of the street, but this thick flood of people was blocking what would otherwise have been an easy enough view across Market. I plunged into the flood and battled it, perpendicular to the tide of marchers, but when I reached the other sidewalk, Leslie was nowhere to be seen. Finally, looking back across, I spotted that unmistakable red hair. I plunged once more into the sea and found her. We hugged in joyful reunion.